Of Jesus. Amen. Dear saints, Christians give their money to support the preaching of the gospel. When we talk about stewardship, that's the most important thing for us to understand. And so we'll say it again. Christians give their money to support the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes, though, we need to be reminded. That's what our gospel text does today. Jesus tells this parable, really one of the most difficult parables in the scripture, to remind us of this, that Christians ought to use their money to expand the preaching of the gospel, to make for themselves friendships that will last into eternity. The parable goes like this. There is a man, a wealthy man, who has a manager or a steward over his goods, and the charge comes against him that he was cheating him, or that he was lazy, or some sort of fraud. There's some problem. So the master comes to this guy and says, "Close up the books, you're fired." So the steward, knowing that he's out of work, and that he's too proud to beg, and he's too weak to dig or do some sort of physical labor, he knows that he's got to make for himself some friends so that when he's homeless and jobless and doesn't have anything, that there will be people who will take him in. So he goes to his master's clients, and he cuts their debts. "You owe 100 measures of oil, make it 50. You owe 100 measures of wheat, make it 80. Now, any way you look at this, it's cheating, it's stealing. Some people say that, well, maybe he had inflated the prices before to make a little money himself. Well, that's stealing to begin with. Or maybe he just is cutting the debt of the people that they owe their master, so he's stealing from his master. Whichever way you come at it, he's doing wrong. He's breaking the seventh commandment. But here's the rub. For the master comes and commends the dishonest manager, it says, for his shrewdness. Now what's going on here? Surely the Lord is not approving of the way that this steward acts, is he? No, he's not. We hear the point when the Lord Jesus continues and explains what the parable means. These words, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings." Jesus is comparing the shrewdness of the sons of the world to the lack of shrewdness to the sons of light, his disciples, us. He continues, "One who is faithful in a little is also faithful in much, and one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. If then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own?" This, by the way, is why we consider this Sunday, the ninth Sunday after Trinity Sunday, really to be Stewardship Sunday. It's what the text is about. The Lord is reminding his Christians that the children of this world, the unbelievers and the pagans and the heathens, know how to use their money to keep what they love the very most, that is their own lives. So his own children, Christians, we who have the wisdom of God, ought to likewise use our money to keep what we love the most. That is, the gospel, the promise of the forgiveness of all of our sins. So we have it again. Christians give their money to support the gospel. What, after all, is gold and silver when the Lord has given us his holy and precious blood? We have been bought with such a precious price that all of the riches of this world are nothing but wood and hay and straw, nothing at all. It is then with Christian wisdom that we consider, as families, as Christians, as individuals, and even as a church, how we use our own money so that this gospel, this promise, this blood of Jesus is spread throughout the world. The unbelievers of the world know how to use their money and position to gain personal advantages. So much more should we use our money to bring the benefits of the Lord's kingdom to this lost and dying and dark world. This brings us then, finally, to stare straight in the face the question of stewardship. The way I see it is this, and this is my stewardship program, if any of you ever wondered. If the members of a church are not giving generously to the church, there's one of two problems. The first is that they're unbelievers, because Christians give their money to support the gospel. Or the second problem is that the church isn't preaching the gospel, and that we, as members of a church, think that another church or another organization or another somebody else does a better job at preaching the gospel, and we give it there. Christians give money to support the gospel. So it is that we consider stewardship. For non-Christians don't love the gospel, and they have no reason to give in support of it. But Christians do. Now, if we're together so far, if you agree with my assessment, then we're ready to look at the solution to stewardship problems. But that this solution would stand in contrast to something else, let's consider how stewardship sermons normally go. What solution is normally offered? In fact, what did you think of when you saw that the title of today's sermon was stewardship? I suspect that maybe there was one of two options. Perhaps you thought of how the stewardship sermons used to be 30 years ago, which was nothing less than a good old-fashioned berating. The pastor would stand in the pulpit and would beat you down with how your own selfishness and your own clinging to your money is proof of your idolatry, and you ought to repent. Now, there's something to that, I think. But it continues with something like this. Look how much the Lord has given up for you, and you give nothing to Him, or you toss Him the leftovers, or you give Him what's left, or whatever it is. That's really the first type of option. Or the second possibility for a stewardship sermon is that it's the same thing, except for softer and nicer, and is about time, talent, and treasure. Now, I might be a little bit cynical, but every time I've ever heard someone use that phrase, time, talent, and treasure, I've thought in the back of my mind what he really means is treasure. And time and talent are means to make it seem nicer, like he's not trying to get his hands in your wallet or something like this. This second type of stewardship sermon is law, nice-sounding law, but non-law nonetheless. We have reduced then stewardship to this, to law. You ought to give your money to the church. I could see it that there could be a time in the life of our own congregation that I would have to stand here in front of you all and say something like this, hey, we need a few more dollars to pay all the bills. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But that's not stewardship. If it's true that people are not giving like they ought to the church, it is the result either of unbelief or of unclear gospel. And the answer to both problems is not the preaching of the law, but the preaching of the gospel itself. The law in its full severity and the gospel in its full sweetness, so that the unchristian would be converted and that those people who are Christians would support the preaching of the gospel through their church. If this congregation, then, and this pulpit and this altar deliver the pure and holy forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of the kingdom of God. In other words, if this congregation and this place is set apart for the preaching and the hearing and the believing of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness, then all other things will be added unto us. And we need not worry. So let's have it then. The Lord's law and His gospel. We'll take it up under the last verse that Jesus gives us, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, says the Lord, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. For, says Jesus, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. That you there in the text is you and me. You cannot serve God and money, but you and me think we can. We think that we can worry about the bank account, and that if we will be able to pay the bills, and what our stock market will do, or what the stock market will do to our retirement, we think that we can worry and fret about these things and that it doesn't affect our faith. We think that our constant devotion to getting and keeping money is no problem at all. But we are wrong, for we cannot serve both God and money. Single and full-hearted devotion to Him alone is what the Lord's demand. And so this command, you cannot serve God and money, stands over you and me like every other command in the Scriptures. It crushes us. It shows us our own weakness, our own sin, and our own idolatry. But look, dear saints, for those of us with divided hearts who try to serve two masters, for we who worry and fret about money, there is a single-minded Lord. Jesus' heart was not divided. He did not have two masters, but one. He served only His Father, and His service meant that He gave up everything that was His splendor and His glory and even His life, all for you. Jesus held nothing back. He kept nothing in His savings account. But He spilled it all out for you. His blood to the very last drop to cleanse us and to make us holy and wholly His. He has redeemed us, purchased us, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. That's you, dear saints. You have been redeemed, been made rich by the Lord's impoverishing cross. You have been set free from worry and fear. Your life has been bought and paid for by Jesus. You are the Lord's holy and precious children. Apart from anything you've done or can do, you are His, and He is yours. And so take they our life, goods, fame, child, wife. Let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours, the kingdom yours remains. May the Lord, by His Spirit, keep us in this true gospel, in life and in death, all the way to life eternal. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.